Hey there, welcome along. It's Damien back with the 9-to-5 Google Daily, this time for June 17th, 2021. But before we dive in, I would absolutely love it if you could drop a 5-star review of this podcast on your podcast platform of choice or a review site. It really does help us reach more people and it would be really valuable to me. But let's get back to our super quick rundown of all of the biggest Google-related stories we've been talking about over the past 24 hours. On Monday, Google made Workspace available for everyone with free personal accounts able to turn on the integrated Gmail experience with Chat and Rooms, soon to be called Spaces. Alongside that, Google Workspace branding now appears on the Gmail web client. When you load Gmail in something like a new tab or after an extended period with no page refreshes, the service's logo will animate as a red bar and notes progress below. This splash screen has also given users the option to load basic HTML for those with slow connections. The Google Workspace logo now appears here on both personal and paid enterprise accounts. The first part is bolder, while the second uses a thinner Google Sans font. The mobile apps currently lack a splash screen, but that could soon change with Android 12's push. It's purely a branding change, but one that comes as the company is explicitly pushing Google Workspace for everyone. While it technically started rolling out in April, Google made official on Monday the ability to enable chat, thus disabling classic Hangouts, and have it appear in Gmail. On mobile, this takes the form of a new Chat and Rooms tab joining Mail and Meet, while the sidebar gets longer on the web, though Google announced redesigned navigation online that is set to arrive later this summer. Google imagines regular people using its productivity apps outside of work to organize family or community events. This vision involves using Spaces to work on a shared document and have a chat feed appear on the left while making it easier to quickly start Meet calls. As a court case between Google and Sonos rages on, an interesting tidbit has recently appeared or come out. Google says that there are technical issues preventing their Google Assistant and Alexa from running side by side on the same device, but Sonos claims they've figured it out and how to do it. Protocol reports that Google's senior public policy director, Wilson White, said during this case that there are technical issues preventing Google Assistant and Alexa from running at the very same time. This is notable because it's fairly well known that Google contractually prevents its partners from offering devices with both Assistant and Alexa running at the same time. Despite Google claiming that there are technical reasons why it can't happen, Sonos Chief Legal Officer Eddie Lazarus says the company has already had the technology or used the technology to make this work. In response, Google's Wilson White said that he'd love an opportunity to personally see this demo in action. Lazarus further told Protocol that voice interoperability is an easy issue to address, where other problems the company wants regulators to address, such as selling smart home products below cost, may be more difficult. He added that having Google Assistant and Alexa running concurrently would just be great for consumers, and it would be hard to disagree with him. Over the past few years, Google Fiber has been replacing legacy aspects of its service and streamlining. The latest allows Fiber TV customers that own a dedicated box to upgrade to a Chromecast with Google TV. The Fiber TV upgrade program involves replacing every Fiber TV box you have with a free Chromecast with Google TV. Your old router or network box will be replaced with the Google Wi-Fi at no additional cost too. You'll stop paying Google for Fiber TV, which started at around $105 a month and offered mobile apps. Each additional box required you to pay an additional $10 per month equipment fee, with the old experience providing access to Netflix and Vudu and offering a more traditional DVR. The last Fiber TV box was introduced in 2016 with 4K streaming support. This continues the move away from Google Fiber, directly offering television service in lieu of recommending members to subscribe to YouTube TV, Fubo TV, Philo, or Sling directly. Google started testing this upgrade in Huntsville, Alabama in February, and it's now bringing the program to all existing Fiber TV customers in every Fiber city. You can contact a Google Fiber support representative to get started if you're wondering how you can get involved with this too. And finally, after years of OnePlus and Oppo clearly sharing the same resources, but the former confidently coming across as their own entity, OnePlus CEO Pete Lau has taken on a bigger role that has involved overseeing portions of both OnePlus and Oppo, and it's now confirmed that he's merging more teams internally on the promise of better efficiency and faster software updates. In an official forum post, Pete Lau announced that a new journey will begin for OnePlus that involves integrating the teams that run OnePlus and Oppo together. This process technically started earlier this year when OnePlus and Oppo merged hardware R&D teams. Apparently, it's seen positive results, and Pete Lau says that the remainder of the OnePlus organization will be integrated with Oppo. The OnePlus brand and channels will remain the same as they are today, but matters behind the scenes will see OnePlus pulling from the same resource pool as its BBK Electronics sibling. Pete Lau claims that this merger will bring faster and more stable software updates for OnePlus devices. That's a great goal to see, of course, given how things have been going for OnePlus in terms of software over the past few years. Android 11 was heavily delayed for everything but the company's current flagship of the time, and more affordable devices like the budget-focused Nord N10 and N100 came with shameful update promises. It's unclear though how this closer merger will help speed up software updates, but it's possible that ColorOS will play a role. Oppo's skin was speedy to be updated when Android 11 debuted, and notably the Android 12 beta for OnePlus devices directly mentions ColorOS by name, and that's likely not a coincidence. Closing out the post though, Lau says that OnePlus will continue launching its products, hosting its own events and engaging with the community. Speaking directly to the company's fans, Lau also said that the community is a vital part of OnePlus, and that's important to share updates like these directly and as soon as possible. So that was a bite-sized overview of all the top news stories of the day. For further insight, you can read all of these stories in full detail and much more over on 9to5google.com. And if you found even a small tidbit of this podcast useful or informative, then why not share it with a friend? It really does help the podcast grow and reach a brand new audience. And if you'd like to take the conversation yet further still, you can find me over on Twitter via @IamDamienWild. Be sure to drop me a message. I do love to hear from old and new listeners alike. And for more detailed and in-depth news, be sure to subscribe to our long-form Alphabet Scoop podcast, usually available every Wednesday.